Every so often, we will hear an interview or a news item promoting the eating of fish for the heart. Some promote fish oil as a diet supplement. Long before this, Peter, the fisherman, apostle, pope, knew the value of fish for the heart. His heart was breaking over the death of Jesus and the uncertainty that lay ahead. His disciples decide to go fishing, or I should say, Peter decided to go fishing, and the other disciples decided to go with him. Their hearts needed some kind of therapy, and so do ours. You will notice that we do not call the weeks following Easter weeks after Easter, but of Easter. This very subtle wording can be seen by us as an invitation to include ourselves in today's fishing trip. We see a bad night of fishing leads to a great catch. We need to picture ourselves overhearing some of their comments. One of the others said that Peter must have lost his touch. Another commented that Peter must have forgotten where the good fishing holes were. After hours of hauling in an empty net and moving from one place to another with the same results, Peter needed a little persuasion to head for shore. A shadowy figure on the shore calls out, "Hey guys, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered no. So he says to them, "Well, cast your net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So without questioning the wisdom of the stranger's suggestion, which in and of itself is a miracle, they cast the net and catch a great number of fish. The beloved disciple says, "It has to be Jesus." So Peter tucked in his garment and jumped into the lake. After dragging the net to the shore, they discovered they had caught 153 fish. Jesus has a fire going and told them to bring some of the fish and have breakfast. A lakeshore breakfast cookout with Jesus. It doesn't get any better than this. Now remember that the two disciples on the road to Emmaus commented after Jesus left them, "Were not our hearts burning as he talked to us on the road?" Maybe the fishermen disciples repeated that comment, but it's safe to say their hearts were burning too. Peter and the sons of Zebedee must have remembered that this was the very place where Jesus called them to leave their nets and follow him. This was where he told them that they would be catching people. No doubt, Jesus thanked them for following him. He would have reminded them how they needed help to haul in the nets full of fish. We too need helpers to bring the gospel to others, to catch people in Jesus' net. As the disciples were thrilled at the enormous catch of fish, we too can be thrilled to bring others to Jesus. In his book, Living a Life That Matters, Rabbi Harold Kushner tells the story of a woman in his congregation who periodically would come to him to complain about her marriage. She did everything around the house, she said. Her husband was uninvolved with the children. He was emotionally distant from her. The rabbi tried to be sympathetic, aware that he was hearing only her side. "Why did she stay in the marriage?" the rabbi asked her. She said she didn't have the heart to leave her husband. He would be helpless without her. His life would be empty. Then one day, she came to the rabbi in tears. He had left her. His parting words were that he wanted to be more of a husband and more of a father, but she wouldn't let him. He realized that those roles did not come easy to him because he did not know how to fulfill them, because his own father had not set a very good example for him. But he felt that instead of letting him try to learn how to be a good father and husband, his wife chose to claim those areas as her own and left no space for him. My friends, in today's gospel, we see Jesus shift from grilling fish to grilling Peter. It was only a few days since Peter had just denied Jesus three times. Now Peter has the opportunity to make up for his failures. Three times he hears the question from Jesus, "Do you love me?" Three times Peter declares his love for Jesus. He hears the forgiving and trusting words of Jesus, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Unless, my friends, we are Greek scholars, we don't hear is that Jesus actually changes the question because of Peter's first two responses. Jesus is actually asking Peter if he loves him enough to lay down his life for him. He uses the word agape. Peter responds that he loves Jesus like a friend. Peter uses the Greek word philia. So Jesus asks again, "Do you love me enough to lay down your life for me?" And again, Peter responds that he loves Jesus like a friend. So, the third time, Jesus lets Peter off the hook, so to speak. Remember, this is a fishing story. And asks Peter if he loves him like a friend. And Peter sheepishly responds, "Yes, I love you like a friend." Jesus accepts Peter where he is at this moment in their relationship. We also know how the end of the story comes. Peter became a great servant leader of Jesus' followers and died a martyr's death. In the end, Peter literally surrenders his life out of his love for the Lord. This interaction of Jesus and Peter is a good reminder to each of us of the infinite mercy of our God. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. When we are forgiven, joy and gratitude can make us willing disciples. Jesus makes space for reconciliation and forgiveness in his relationship with Peter. Peter has spectacularly failed Jesus, denying him three times when Jesus needed him the most. But Jesus makes peace to put what happened aside and lift up Peter's faith. Jesus is not taunting Peter, but calling Peter to move beyond the past and to take on the challenges of apostleship. By accepting Peter where he is and forgiving Peter as he does, in effecting reconciliation with Peter, Jesus transforms Peter's regrets and shame into a new understanding of the gospel that the fisherman Apostle Pope has witnessed. Sadly, the two spouses that Rabbi Kushner writes about are unable to make that kind of space for one another's mistakes and fumbles. Through constantly seeking to make space for reconciliation with others, in calling forth the goodness that others possess, despite our doubts and disappointments, in possessing the greatness of heart to forgive and seek forgiveness, we enable Easter resurrection to take place in our own families, to take place in our own neighborhoods, and to take place in our churches and in our communities. My friends, today we get to go fishing without even leaving the church. And once again, we get to listen to Jesus' comforting words as well as his challenging ones. May we always want to experience the joy of listening to Jesus and of faithfully sharing in this humble yet most profound meal with him. Amen.